Well, certainly, we do thank the Lord this morning for all His mercies and love. That song is kind of, in my mind, a worship song, of course, but a kind of reflective song. Helps us reflect on how great and wonderful God's been to us. Then there are songs that kind of a little faster beat, up tempo, and causes us maybe to pat our feet or clap our hands, that tells about the rejoicing that we have in the Lord and how good God's been. But I think about the different types of singing and praises and thanksgivings and the different ways that can be expressed. But it's always expressing the grace of God, the graciousness of God, how good God is and how good He's been for us. It expresses, regardless of whether it's a slow, reflective song or a faster song, it tells us of hope, that we can continue on and go forward. So thank the Lord this morning for His wonderful salvation to you, to me. And oh, just thank Him for all the goodness that He daily bestows upon us in every conceivable way. This morning I'd like to consider about you and me laying aside and putting aside things that would hinder us. Things that maybe you or me have included in our life, things that have come our way and left a scar or an imprint on us that affects us emotionally and spiritually and maybe physically, and how that you and me want to be very careful through the course of our life to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, keep our minds and our ears in tune to what the Lord has said, and put ourselves in subjection to Him, that we would see the difference between what life teaches us and tells us, experiences have imprinted on us, and what the Word of God says, and that the Word of God might have preeminence in all things, that it would supersede all thoughts, all events, all the things that come our way and present themselves to us as reasonable, and that Jesus Christ and the Word of God would supersede all of that, and we would believe God, that we would be like those that were saw the transfiguration of Christ, and God spoke to them and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." So this morning, I'd like to encourage us all, in all things and in everything, let's pay attention to what God is saying to us. Let's pay attention to what God has done for us. And let's pay attention to the promises of God that He has given to every one of us. Let's pay attention to how much love, behold this great love, that He gave His life for us. And surely now since He's done that, Paul wrote, "Will He not, will that same one freely give us all things?" So this morning, let's look into ourselves. You know, you go down through life and you study history and you study events and things that have taken place. Every generation, every leader, every home, everyone has faced the challenges of life. Everyone has had to rise above or succumb to the events of life and the challenges of man. Back many years ago in Jewish history, there was a man named Nehemiah. He, along with some contemporaries of his, were given the charge of rebuilding the city, the walls, in preparation for the reconstruction and the rebuilding of the temple. So Nehemiah and those that were with him, even with their captive king's permission, they went forth to do that duty. And I'm sure there was some apprehension, but I believe above that there was great anticipation. And you thought, well, now these men are on the work of the Lord, and surely it's going to be okay, and they won't have many obstacles to face. But I want you to know, and we all know, that working for the Lord, there are antagonists. Trying to live a holy life is, there are antagonists. Being a parent, there are those things that will come against that. We are emotional creatures. We are people with feelings. We are people that are aware of the surroundings. We're not in a vacuum. We're not in a little spot encapsulated from what's going on around us. So we are aware of words. We are aware of the trends of the world. We are aware of injustices. We are aware of likes and dislikes. So we all have those things to contend with or to work with. And that's the reason I want us to think about it today. Let's let God be true above everything else, that He will have preeminence over all the events and all the thinking and all the education, all the things that we reason and we perceive and we understand, that Jesus Christ will have preeminence above everything else. Well, these men went forward, and sure enough, they saw things that were going to have to take place, and they were rather monumental to them. And there were things that came against them at different times, and they faced adversaries, they faced difficulties, even though they were on a noble cause. So this morning, let's not think because we want to do right that there won't be opposition. And let's not think that because we want to do right, we won't have some battles in our mind and in our hearts that we've got to overcome of our personalities, of our thinking process, and of the events and experiences of life. They are all there, and God has allowed them to be, but also He has sent His Son to be our great King, our leader, that in all things, Paul said, He might have preeminence. Well, I'd like to read something that was written by Nehemiah in the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. And I just want to read the last part of the very, very last part of the words. They had been rehearsing what had happened and the Word of God, and people were realizing how far away and they were and how terrible their situation was before the Lord even. And here's what the Lord had Nehemiah write and tell the people. The 10th verse of the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now these people were hearing things that caused them to be troubled. You ever hear things that cause you to be troubled? You ever see things that cause you to be troubled? The situations occur to you in your life or my life, it causes us to want to react and react out of emotions, or react out of feelings, out of fears or whatever they may be, out of good intentions. There are very many things that happen to us every day that would cause you and me to react to them in a way that may not be in our best interest, the best interest of the work of the Lord, or the best interest of God Himself. So He said, don't be sorry. Now, on first reflection, we might think, well, don't be sorry you've got this job. And don't feel so sorry that these things have happened. And don't let your heart be overcharged. And in part, it means that. But when you study the Hebrew word for this word, sorry, it brings to me a little different meaning, a deeper meaning. And it said to carve. Do not let your hearts, do not let your minds, your thinking process be carved or be fabricated or be fashioned by these things you're hearing, by the opposition that you face, by the occurrences of life. The Lord said, don't let that which comes around, don't let that comes your way and befalls you, don't let the politics of the land, don't let the ungodliness all around you, don't let the injustices that have happened to you, don't let those things that have impacted you, don't let them carve you, don't let them make you, don't let them fabricate you, don't let them become such an influence in your life that they become the dictator, they become the thing that rules you. Lord, help us, because each one of us meet these things in life. They would like nothing better than to take the carving knife, the scalpel, to take the welding torch, and the cutting torch, and the rivets, and start fabricating us into the image that, in the bottom line, Satan wants us to become. He said something else too. He said, don't be, let these things become such a hurt to you or such a pain to you that you let them begin to rule you. But he said, and this is another thought we have today, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. God's got something better for us. And in all things, if we allow the Lord Himself to have preeminence, and I don't know that I can express that term how I'm feeling it right now. But listen to that word. Allow the Lord in all things to have preeminence. Think about it. And it does me good, and I believe it would do us all good today to reflect on how we're living our life. Are we being carved? Are we being fabricated by something other than the preeminence of Jesus Christ in our life? That's not to accuse us. That's not to cast us down. But Lord, help us each one to be challenged that in all things, and all the things that want to impact my life and affect me, and granted they do, and granted they will, Lord, help you and me to rise above it, because in spite of that, in spite of what's occurred, my Lord will have preeminence, and His words are true, and they're everlasting. We studied this morning in the Sunday school class about the comparison of the life and the work of Moses to that of the one prophesied to come, Jesus Christ. And we want to be able to, in all things, bring into focus Jesus Christ in our life, and He is preeminent in all things. And the point was made in the lesson today, how remarkable it was. Things that were prophesied a couple of thousand or more years ago came to pass because the Word of God had spoken it. How many of the things that you and me have envisioned or prophesied or said would happen or did happen actually come to pass just the way we say it? Very few. Do you ever get distraught? Do you ever get angry? Do you ever get something that comes your way and you start being sorrow, in the sense of the word here in the Hebrew, carved, fabricated by it? And how many times does it not come to pass that way after all? And now we've spent our time in less than profit. And how the words of God spoken thousands of years before Jesus Christ, concerning Christ, came to be just the way God said it. You know, He didn't err, He didn't make a mistake, and not one jot or tittle of His law fell to the ground. Every word was fulfilled. Lord, help us today to have a real faith and a courage in our God and in everything, in spite of all the knives that are thrust at us and the cutting torches and all the fabricating processes that want to entangle themselves in our lives. Let us let the Lord be the final judge. Let's let His word be forever settled, not only in heaven, but in our heart. Let's let God be true in everything. And then, when the bad news comes, or that thing that we just didn't really like it the way it turned out happens, or that insult, or that injury, or that promotion in that grand scheme of life comes to us, and it's so wonderful. Let's still allow the Lord to have preeminence. Because the joy that He brings to us is our strength. And this word strength, that's our fortified place. That's our fortress. That's the place that withstands the fiery darts. That's the place that is greater in me than that, and greater in you than that which is in the world. The joy of the Lord is preeminent. It supersedes any gratification the flesh could ever hope to bring to us. It supersedes and is greater than, and it's a fortress against those things that try to persuade you or me otherwise. those events and those ideas and those gainsayers and our own inadequacies and the way we were made and the events of life that occur to us and our own personalities. The fortress is, I've got joy in the Lord, and by all the graces of God, I will not let that go, and I don't want to lose that. Now, this that's intervening doesn't compare to the joy I possess in knowing my name is in heaven's book of life, knowing that I'm forgiven, knowing that I have peace with God, knowing that in spite of all of this, there's a higher power, and I have learned His name, and He knows my name. The joy of the Lord becomes a fortress for us. It becomes a hiding place, the cleft in the rock. It becomes a defense for us by definition. It's a place that we can run to. It's a high tower. God's that joy. God's that high tower. We can run in. The righteous can run in there and be safe. So may the Lord help us today. Now I'd like for us to consider some words of Jesus Christ. I won't try to elaborate on them very much. But He said, don't get manipulated by life. Basically, sorrow. Don't be sorry. Don't let life and, you know, these people had failed miserably. And the Lord said, don't let that get you down. That's my words. That's what He was talking about here. I mean, these people had gone way away to the point God gave them over for 70 years to captivity. Had terrible things happen to them. And they got to reading the books. Wow. How far have we gone? But the Lord said, wait a minute. There's something better. Don't get too down on this. Take courage. Have joy. I've got something wonderful for you. And it's going to be your defense and it's going to be your strength. I want to say to us today, if we find ourselves in a place that we know we shouldn't be in, there's a point for sorrow. Sure there is, godly sorrow. But oh, let's have joy that there's still hope. There's still a God. There's still Jesus. And He loves me. And He's still reaching out to me and saying, come with your labors to me. So I want to read some words that Jesus said, and I think they're very encouraging words. In John 8 and 12, because He said, the joy of the Lord, that which God has promised is our strength. Let's not try to trust in chariots. Let's not trust in Egypt or arrows or weapons of carnal warfare or intellect or wit or wisdom. But let's trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's trust in the eternal God. Let's trust in the one who spoke and it was. Let's trust in the one who gave His only Son. Let's trust in the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. Let's trust in Him who we'll all stand before and give an account of in that day. That's the one, see. Let's not fear the arrows of the day. Let's not fear those that could kill the body. But let's be real reverent and fearful of Him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hear ye Him. In all things, let's let God be the judge. Let's let God be the one that carves us, that builds us, that makes us, that forms us. Let's allow the Lord to be the very strength of our life. And let's let His joy be a rock and a fortress and a defense that nothing can compare to the joy of knowing I am forgiven. I am His child. I belong to the Most High God. And He will fight my battles. He's the Lord, mighty in battle. And we can trust in Him. Joy of the Lord being our strength. Here's some scriptures I said. John 8 and 12. I am the light of the world. We need light. We need instruction. We need direction. We need purpose. We need to be able to see He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Promise, number one here. We can have the light of life. I don't care what the world says, folks. I don't care what happens to us. Oh, I care in the sense of, yes, I feel sympathy and pain for you or for myself. But I mean, it does not matter what the world eventually does. We can have the light of life. We need to get a hold of that. We need to have that promise embedded in us. Nehemiah, Ezra, those fellas, they got pretty discouraged and in the flesh, rightly so. They didn't have smooth sailing, and it wasn't altogether worked out just the way they hoped it would be. But it eventually got done, because God wanted it done. May the Lord help us today. We can have within us, in spite of all the darkness around us, the light of life. And you and me, listen, do not have to walk in darkness. We don't have to do it. Now, we automatically think of sin, that evil creature of the devil. It's darkness. And indeed it is. But you know this old gray matter up here? In this, what we call our heart, the emotions, it can get pretty dark sometimes too. And if we listen to it, and if we give it and this and ourselves preeminence, folks, that's darkness too. And that's discouragement. And that's waywardness. That's murmuring and that's complaining. That will eventually lead, I believe, to backsliding. We can have the light of life and not walk in darkness. That's scripture number one I wanted to read. John 15 and 11. Now this is God, Jesus. This is not the preacher trying to build you up. This is Jesus speaking here. It's not a pep talk in the sense that it's going to be in my strength. Believe this. Believe. Folks, I have come to battles in my life. How do I say that? I know what I'm talking about. There was a time, David said, my feet had well nigh slipped. Folks, we've all been, it's a good opportunity, good chance that all of us could say, well, I understand what David was talking about. I don't put that on you, I put that on me. But maybe there's others here today that could say, I know what David was talking about. But by the grace of God, it wasn't the intellect of man. It wasn't the emotions of man. But it was the wonderful grace of God, our fortress, that lifted us up out of the miry clay, that opened our eyes and let us see by the light that was in us. Ah, my feet didn't slip. Praise the holy name of God. He got a hold to me. These, in 15 and 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now that's the word of God. The Lord wants His strength to be an abiding presence in our life. Now that's God. We could say the Holy Spirit, the Word, it's all of that. It's God in us. Us, the temple. Us, the habitation of God. He said, I've spoken to you that you might have my joy, it might remain in you, and that it be full. This is the Word of God. And for me to not be carved up by society, I've got to believe it. For me not to be fabricated and molded into the emotions that beset me, I've got to believe it. That my joy can be full, the joy of God in us can be full. And I had a little note here, full for the battle. Full for all the seasons. He said of David, David wrote in Psalms, the first Psalms, he said, that he should, about the man that was planted by the water of life, the river like a tree, said he shall bring forth his fruit in season. Folks, seasons change, come and go. Sometimes they don't last an hour before they're changed. Sometimes they don't last just a short time until the children even get grown. Seasons change. Things change. But he said that if we'll be planted by that river of water, when those seasons change, the saints of God can still be there bearing fruit. Lord, help us. But we can't do it in reasoning, intellect, and emotions. We can't do it in difference to the world that's around us. We can't allow them to place their hands on us or their thinking. And I don't mean, let me clarify this. When I say the world, I mean human nature. I mean the emotions, the part of us that are still connected to terra firma, the part of us that still sees the sunrises and sunsets and feels the breezes. That man has got to have the protection of the joy of the Lord. He's got to have something greater, bigger, greater, stronger in him than his own ability. Because I want to tell us all this, and you already know it probably, something's going to come along in your life that is way bigger than you are. If it hadn't already happened, just buckle your seats, because it will happen. Turbulence ahead. So God help us, that we be fitted for the battle. And God said, Jesus said, that our joy be full. That our joy be full. In John 10:10, these are scriptures we know well. But sometimes I'll interrupt myself and I will testify myself. I know these scriptures. Possibly I could quote them from memory. But then I ask myself, when the season changes, do I really believe it? Do I really have it? And I feel this fellow, whoever he is, self, I feel this fellow, the devil, coming along and saying, by the way, if you let me give you some wisdom here, if you let me influence you a little bit, and maybe the pity starts rising up. Ooh, feels pretty good. Maybe a little sense of injustice and indignation against what happened. You know, it could be anything. And regrettably, to the flesh, it feels good. So I ask myself, Lord, please, write thy law upon my heart in living characters of flame. So when this thing that I wasn't expecting, or when this thing I was expecting happened comes to me, I'll believe what you said in your word, and that will be my strength. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. In a sense, this word abundantly, in a sense, beyond. You know, man's abilities can take us thus far, or so far. God's grace and joy and love, God Himself, can take us beyond that. Beyond the realms of human possibilities, who giveth more than we could ask, giveth liberally. I'm getting the scripture a little bit. But anyway, more than we could ask or think. Abundant. Beyond your highest dreams and expectations. Above your broken promises and wounded pride. And above your, in the case of those folks back in among the Jews, their sorrow of their terrible backsliding. Above all of that, God's got something that's abundant. It goes beyond. Beyond what we could ask, beyond what we could think. Do we not do well to hear Him? Put these words in our hearts. Burn them in there, Lord. Etch them in there with the power of your grace. And Lord, help this poor man to humble himself. To humble himself. We sing a song, "He will not walk with the proud or the scornful." I'm glad God is on the mercy seat. And He's not here to whisk us away. By all means, He's not. But He won't walk. He cannot. There has to be a degree of cooperation. I must believe. I must believe. I must accept it as truth in spite of what my mind tells me. In spite of what my body tells me. In spite of the, Elijah got to listening to those carvers and those fabricators. And he said, "I am the only one left. I can't afford that either. I can't afford to listen to that, can you?" God's got people, folks, that we're going to have to wait till we get to heaven to shake hands with. But they're there. And God has a holy people, and God has a people that are living to Him and for Him, and their lives and their names are in the book of life. And I praise God for every one of them, and I don't want to be an Elijah and fabricate in my mind that, no, God has a people that goes beyond what I can understand, what I can see. Now, they've got the qualities of being washed in the blood and living free from sin. No question. But their expanses are out there. And that's just one area. The devil wants to come along and get my mind and your mind thinking something that absolutely is not true. The only thing I can say about the devil, and I can't say anything good about him, Jesus said it. He's a liar. From the beginning, he's a liar. Superior, abundantly, is superior. This word preeminence comes in here now. He is preeminent. This joy has a preeminence. John wrote in 1 John, I believe, "Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world." Maybe you're seeing what I'm seeing some of, how faith now begins to come into this picture. Because you got to believe the report. You got to believe it. You can't just hope and try to get by on luck. We've got to actually believe that the joy of the Lord is our strength, is something greater than. Not a giddy joy, but joy when our hearts are broken. Joy when our eyes are red with tears. Joy when we look in a casket of someone we have devoted our lives to and say goodbye. Joy that is preeminent and rises above that. Joy when sin would come in like a flood and reason would say run or give yourselves into it. And their knives come out and their fabricating tools come out and want to work on us. And it hurts and we don't understand it. And we don't know why we're here all together. The Lord said, be of good cheer. Joy that is preeminent. That some way, somehow is a fortress against all of those things. Jesus promised to leave us a peace in John 14 and 27. And I don't know about all of this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You could take any part of this I've just read and make a sermon out of it. But the part that I highlight in my mind right now is not as the world. We make errors. The Bible said if we compare ourselves among ourselves and with ourselves, we're unwise. You know, it's hard not to do. Because we see each other, we see the world, we see ourselves, we look in the mirror. It's hard not to do. It's not an easy thing sometimes. And we need to be very careful that we're not gauging peace, joy, if you will, or peace, on a standard that is below the standard of Christ. A peace, yea, though he slay me, I'll trust him. A peace that will rise above and is not disturbed by that that's trying to influence us. A peace that is greater than our own minds and our own emotions, our own scars, our own events that have happened to us that have that trigger responses. A peace that's greater than that. Paul said it, I think, so graciously, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that that I have committed unto him against that day. To me, that's what our peace is. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded he's able to keep this old frail, fragile man. I am persuaded that in spite of all that would try to affect me, including my own mind, folks, I don't want to get away from my own selves as a tremendous influence here. In spite of all of this, he will keep me in perfect peace. And I know I have believed in him, and I'm persuaded. I must believe this. We must believe this today. John, the first chapter, 12th verse. But as many as received him. There's a message in that. To them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, folks, we can read about joy and peace and power and strength till the, I know it won't happen, but the little colloquial saying, till the world looks level. And not have peace and joy. It can be that dream that's out there somewhere. It's that brass circle that we never are able quite a hold to get a hold of. There's a condition that's very necessary for me and you. To him that receive. Open up our hearts, our minds. Repentance plays a part in here. But it cannot be overstated, of belief and of faith and saying, I submit to it. He that receives me, him. Let me read it again. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That which is offered. In my hands no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling, to receive the promise, to receive the blood, to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the offering of God to every one of us. And this word also means to regard one's power. So to those who would regard the power of the one who's making the offering and have respect to it and submit to it and receive it, he gives us then the power, the right, the privilege, the ability to be called the sons of God. And then the Roman writer said, and if sons, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, can we believe it? I said we wanted to talk a little bit today about laying aside the weights. And I spent a little longer on this than I meant to on the promises. But let's go here a little bit. We've got to believe that the promises are true. Bottom line. We've got to receive them. And we've got to let their power work in us. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This must be paramount in our life. That Christ must live. And the life that we live by the grace of God is not our life, but it's the life of Christ living in us. One of the common traits of humanity is procrastination. I'm thinking about in the light of the world, the Word. Look at ourselves and see, have we been carved? Have we been fabricated some way, in some fashion, other than by the hands and the life of Jesus Christ? And if so, let's lay aside these weights. And let's go back to the Lord. And I'm not speaking here of sin. It can be sin. But it can be that which has disturbed our peace and undermined our joy. And I want to tell us something. When you don't enjoy something, you're ready for it to end. When you don't enjoy something, you're trying to find a way out of it. Joy is paramount to living Christian life. If I have allowed, Lord, help us to look at ourselves. And if we have allowed something to come in that's not built and sent by the Lord, it's a weight that's going to hinder our race and take away our joy. We're procrastinators of duty, of needs, and laying aside extra weight. I've been on a diet now for a month. Can't tell it, can you? But I'm going to do it, folks. How do I know I'm going to do it? Because I said I'm going to. My mother didn't mind having me having the chores. I'd procrastinate. And she'd say, Stanley, you're supposed to wash dishes. I'm fixing to. Stanley, you're supposed to go in there and do so-and-so. Break those leaves out there. I'm fixing to. And she'd hear that fixing to just about as long as she could take it. And she'd say, Stanley, what have you got to fix? What have we got to fix, folks? Good intentions. Thank the Lord for them. The Bible speaks about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You got a line that's running through your hand here somewhere. I think it's this one. Doesn't really matter. And I'm not a believer in this by any means. Please understand that. It's called your lifeline. And depending on how that wrinkle goes and how far it goes, that's how long you're supposed to live. So if you're superstitious, you really hope for a long, you make that thing wrinkle up the best you can. Now, I hope I don't have to say this, but I'll say it anyway. I don't believe that. Okay. Now, but it's still called a lifeline. Some people, we could go around comparing palms of our hands today, and some of you would really going to live a long time, and some were just going to live a few short weeks. We don't know, folks, how long our lifeline is. Why not? Paul said, I press. I believe he said, I contend. He exhorted to contend for the faith. This morning, let's you and me look at ourselves. And our lifeline is as a vapor. Our lifeline is as a post. It's gone. It was mailed and it was delivered and it's over with. It's faster than the weaver's shuttle. Just after a while, the weaving is complete. Faster than that. Why not enjoy everything we can? And that's going to entail us, as me and you, laying aside every weight. Everything that's been touched by the scalpel and the carving knives of flesh and of this world. It's cutting the ties that bind us to fears and doubts and things of this life that, and like I say, I'm not talking about way out there in Hollywood. I'm talking about right there that comes close to us. that demands our attention so much. You know, this lifeline is just, it's gone. It's just short. It stands to reason that I would want to make the best out of this little time I possibly could. Are we wasting our time? Are we redeeming the time? Are we making full use of that which has been afforded us? I believe Paul wrote to Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. I think about myself. I'm not going to grade out loud myself. When I was in school, you could get an A+. I don't know what to give nowadays. But I want to tell you something. If I was going to grade myself and call it out loud to you, it wouldn't be an A+. Because I'm human. And I feel and I see. And I was born with certain tendencies. And all of those weigh on us at times, folks. And the Lord said through the writer, lay aside those weights. Look into, run with patience. Look into Jesus. What would Jesus do, the songwriter said. I say this, what did Jesus do? And let us run with patience. It's time, I think, for some of us to start acting on our good intentions. Most of us, alone with God, and this is not to cast you down, it's just, I think, we can stipulate this almost. Alone with God, we've got some things that we're working on. And it may be that we've seen them and know them and we have procrastinated on them. And in the meantime, they've affected us or are affecting us, not for our good, but robbing, stealing, little foxes. I'm not going to say where sin enters in. That's not my call. But that's the aim of the devil. That's what he wants to do. Lord, help us to redeem the time now. Take advantage of this wonderful strength the Lord has given us. And let's sanctify the Lord in our hearts and in our minds and make Him preeminent in everything. And everything then that comes along, weigh it against the Word. You'd be surprised, and maybe you wouldn't be, you would be surprised at how many times if we'd just go to the Word, the light would shine on us and we'd say, wait a minute, what am I thinking this way for? Have you ever done that? I have. What generally does the Lord reprove us with? The Word. What does He shine on our pathway to teach us how to live? The Word. It's a lamp. It's a light. Let's be guided by it. Let's let it have preeminence in our life. Let's let its joy rise up as a shield and a fortress to keep us above all things. The songwriter said, sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Oh, let's allow the Lord today to be preeminent in our life and all things. A few weeks ago, here, Word was going forth, one of our ministers. I was sitting over there in my place where I sat. And I'm not going to tell you my thoughts because it's immaterial. But they weren't encouraging, not about that service, about thoughts that had been coming to me over the past 2 or 3 weeks before that. And they weren't encouraging thoughts. They weren't thoughts that were bringing me any peace whatsoever. They weren't sinful and diabolical or anything, but they weren't of God, for sure. And I was in a whatever. And the preacher said, maybe I have to paraphrase it now, if I didn't write it down. Well, I did write it down, but I lost a piece of paper. But the preacher said this. When Jesus speaks to us, His words always draw us to Him. That was the victory that I needed. Because it dawned on me, I've been hearing a lot of words. And they've been making me sorrow and sorry. And they've been trying to carve me and manipulate me and fabricate me and get me off on a tangent and believe things that I didn't, or accept things that I didn't, I won't say it, that I shouldn't do or shouldn't act upon maybe. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute. They're not drawing me to Christ. If anything, they're pushing me away. And victory came. Victory came. Listen to this. Is there something alive in your life today that's fabricating on you, that's carving on you, that's trying to, has and trying to steal joy and the overflowing wonderfulness of being saved? If they're not drawing you closer to the Lord, renounce them things. Renounce them as the hidden things of darkness, of the little foxes, of that slow dripping of the water that will cause the rock to erode. Renounce them. Get rid of them. And let Jesus Christ have preeminence in all things. Let His Word be outstanding in your mind. Lay aside every old weight, and this is not going to come easy. Depending on the battle, it's a lot of things play into this, I know that. But it can be done. And it must be done. It should be done. And your joy, let it be your strength. Let it be the reason. Let it be the perseverance in you. Because it'll be your strength. So today, let's let God be true. We read some scriptures again. I won't reread them, of course, in John. As a fact, it was all in John. He said one other when he was washing the disciples' feet. John 13:7. He gave them instructions and told them what to do. And I'm going to apply this word to absolutely everything the Lord has said, not just right there at the feet washing. He said, happy are you if you do it. Happy. If you're not happy today, it's not God's fault. And I won't even say it's your fault. But it's certainly not God's fault. If you're not complete today, you can be. I can be. If we're being carved on, if we're being feeling the molding of life is molding us more than Christ is, we can stop that. And we can be changed. We can be turned around. And Jesus Christ can have preeminence in our life. You pray for me.